This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Cool Project Show. I'm your host, Michelle Molyneux, and each show we discover cool new projects from around the world. This morning, we're going to talk to Jamie Glennon from British Columbia, Canada. During the day, he's a serial entrepreneur as well as a consultant involving privacy, security, and identity management. Jamie is also an avid musician who designs and builds his own guitars as well as a serial do-it-yourselfer. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you, Michelle. Glad to be here.
Now, before we talk about your passion for music and guitar making, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure. You already mentioned that I sort of have a background in, and my day job, if you want to call it, is in privacy, security, and identity management. And I've been in the technology space for 25 years, so always been involved with science and mathematics and all these other things. So it's probably what led me into my interest in music. But I did start playing music as a child a long time ago, so when I was about 9 years old. So, you know, 40 years later, here I am, and I'm still playing around with playing with the strings and playing with all the other stuff, and it's really quite quite a part of my life, and as it should be for everybody. So, but that's kind of my where I come from.
Okay, that's great. Maybe at another time we can have you come back to the show to talk about identity management. I think that would be a very interesting subject for our audience. But in the meantime, let's just quickly go over the do-it-yourself market as a whole. So not just with guitars, but the market as a whole for the general audience.
Yeah, for sure. So if you think back to how a lot of do-it-yourself and home project work has happened over time. It's always been there. There's always been the garage mechanics and the home plumbers and the home builders and everything else. And for the longest time, forever, quite frankly, for that to happen, people had to, you know, purchase books and get other resources that were out there to be able to go through the process of learning how to do these things. They had to take training, and it was really, you were really quite limited. And if you look at the way that it was in the past, you know, I mean, books were great, but they really, you know, they weren't interactive and they weren't, you know, really all that full of explanations around how to do things. So it really took training. So it really put limitations on what people could do and what they were able to do on their own. So as a result, they either didn't do things or they had to get other people to do them for them. Very simple. So, move back about 25 years now with the evolution of the beginning of the internet, and things started to come up that suddenly changed everything. All of a sudden, you've got you know, interactive books and content that's online, and the ability to have initially, you know, groups and special interest groups and other people in communities of interest that were interested in the things that you did. So it didn't matter if you were, you know, you could find on the music side, you could find lots of music groups, you could find people that were interested in sewing, you could find people interested in all these other things. So what there became was there became kind of a culture or subculture around people that were trying to do things on their own. And initially it was just in these kind of email groups or these news groups and whatnot, where people could say, hey, have you ever done this? Any advice on how I could, you know, make this thing and all these other things, and people would start sharing their thoughts and ideas. So that was kind of how it began, you know, 20 years ago with the sort of news groups and along those lines as the internet evolved. But moving forward, as we got into the World Wide Web and, you know, web browsers and Google and YouTube and Microsoft and all these other things, all of a sudden the ability to publish and put stuff on the internet and on the web became much more richer, and all of a sudden it opened up a lot more opportunity for people to be able to share their thoughts, experiences, and ideas through different ways. So initially there's a lot of things that would come up. Well, people started posting, you know, pictures they started, or even emailing pictures, but they would start posting pictures to forums, or they would post instructions to forums. So it no longer was this text-based, you know, interaction between people. It was actually now, you know, people showing stuff and allowing others to view what they had done or how they had done it. And then there was various different pieces of information that went along with that. So that really kind of put it to the next step. And so now, you flash forward even closer to the last, you know, 5 or maybe even 10 years, you know, with the evolution of things like YouTube and Cool Projects actually is a great example of how this is evolving too. But all of a sudden people will now be able to make videos, you know, unlike the, you know, back in the old days when we took videos with, you know, 8mm cameras and all this other stuff, we now have, you know, a camera, like high-definition cameras built into our smartphones and built into our computers, and we have audio that's incredible, and you can plug a microphone in, and you can create, you know, special angles, and for, you know, $5, you can buy an application that can give you multi-angle and all these other fabulous things. So what's happened now, there's become this entire culture around do-it-yourself and the DIY space that has allowed for people to really now become journeymen in showing how and what and they're going to be doing as far as building stuff on their own. And when you get into, you know, I of course am doing this in the guitar space, but it's well beyond the guitar. Like the guitar space is probably a small part of this. You know, there's other people that are out there that are able to express and show and teach how to build other things. I personally go online and, you know, I build lots of stuff for my shop. You know, right now I'm building a router table that allow me to basically use my router for my instruments and whatnot. But, you know, rather than going out and struggling to build one on my own or buying one, I can just go online to YouTube and I can find, you know, 50 or 100 different sites where I can see how to build different kinds and different materials and different models and whatnot. So, and there's some people that are out there that have created complete channels around this that are basically instructors. They're virtual instructors for people like myself and people that are out there that are looking to build stuff. So it's really become, like I said, a subculture around DIY, well beyond anything that could be comprehended in the past. And that's all evolved because of the World Wide Web and the Internet.
Right. And because of this has also expanded your knowledge with guitar making. When did you actually become so passionate about music and guitars and broaden out, you know, in building your own guitars?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier in my introduction there, you know, I started playing the guitar, you know, as 40 years ago now. And I was very into it. You know, some kids play a little bit, you know, and then they kind of get bored with it and they kind of give it up. But for me at the time, it defined my personality and it defined who I was. It was all through high school. Certainly I was, you know, in the band. So very much into it. And at the time I thought it was going to be a career. I was looking at it to be a career for myself. And, you know, one thing led to another, and that could be my early 20s. You know, I opted to go to get an education. And because of my sort of mathematical mind, I went into computer science, and which is what led me to the whole security and privacy thing you mentioned earlier. But, and I kind of dropped it. I stopped playing. It's a big regret I have in my life for a period of time. I just said I got to focus on, you know, schooling and then career and get my family going and all the other stuff, which is very important. But I just kind of put the music by the wayside for quite a few years. But as many things happen, you know, it really was still something I was very passionate about and something I always considered myself a musician, even when I was not being a musician. And when I got into my 30s, got talking to some people, and one thing led to another, and my interest and excitement got rekindled, and I decided to start playing again. And initially, it was just playing, you know, for myself. And I decided to learn how to play better. One thing I did do is I got very deep into lessons and theory and all the other stuff. to really get a full understanding of playing, because now at this point in my life, I'm more, you know, in my 30s, I'm more mature. I'm not caring too much about just being in a rock band. I wanted to actually learn the science of music, if you want to call it that. But that was kind of where I saw it. So I really embraced it, and it really became a big part of my life again, which was fantastic. I got into some bands with other people of, you know, like mind, you know, a lot of professionals, again, like myself, who had day jobs, and nighttime we were playing, we were not playing big concerts or anything, but, you know, we were enjoying ourselves, right? It was something that we all liked to do, and it was amazing the talent that was out there in the marketplace, and it was fabulous. So I, you know, look into where I wanted to take my interests and whatnot, and I ended up, as a lot of guitar players do, I ended up buying a lot of guitars, right or wrong, different kinds of guitars and whatnot, and that just is sort of what happens. They're like tools. They all have different uses, just so you know. My wife's listening. Right. If my wife's listening, that's what it's all about. But then what kind of led into the next, you know, again, because of my mind and sort of a bit of a mathematical, you know, science-y mind, I just, you know, what guitars now, you know, how they worked and how they were made and all this other stuff. So if you, you know, and suddenly found an amazing interest in the thought of building my own instruments. So
kind of, now you would actually, because you had said you're taking quite a lot of classes about in regards to guitars. Can you just talk to us just briefly about the guitar, the history of the guitar market?
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, guitars themselves, it's not 100% certain, you know, where or who invented them, because it was a long time ago. It's not like, you know, when we know who invented the car or the boat or something. Well, maybe not the boat, but certainly the car, and, you know, who invented computers and whatnot, because it's kind of in recent history. But, you know, guitars, they feel or they figure evolved out of, you know, the oud, the Greek oud, and, or, you know, some of these other different, you know, ancient instruments, you know, 4,000 years ago. And over time evolved, and then, of course, perhaps, you know, the modern guitar era, we call it now, you know, kind of started evolving out of Spain and, you know, obviously in North America and the United States and whatnot. So, but the types of guitars especially have evolved, and it's largely because of, you know, modern music, or what I call it modern music, but I'm talking the last, you know, couple hundred years and the capabilities that are in there. So it's amazing if you think back to when they probably invented the, you know, the first, you know, could have been like a Bo Diddley type guitar, which is a one string instrument, 4,000 years ago, by tying a piece of wire or string or something tightly over a couple of rocks or on a stick, to now where we have, you know, massive amounts of technology that, even too much, in my opinion, in a lot of cases, you know, built into the instruments and music. It's, you know, 4,000 years later, like anything, it's evolved. So, you know, the North American marketplace, of course, has really evolved over the last, you know, 100.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we're going to take a quick break, okay, and then we'll talk more to Jamie about some continued history on the guitars and his projects. We'll be right back.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy, no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Cool Project Show, and today we are talking to Jamie Glennon, singer-songwriter and maker of guitars. We just finished talking, we were just talking a little bit more about the history of the guitar market and the history of guitars. Can you tell me a little bit more and the types of guitars that are out there now?
Sure, Michelle. Thanks again for having me. So what I was just talking about before we took the break was really the evolution of guitars in North America. I won't talk to the international markets too much in Europe because there's a lot of different things going on there, although they use a lot of North American guitars, I will say. But as I was sort of coming across here, the companies that, that what I'll call, household names, even if you don't play guitar, you probably know some of these names just because you see them everywhere. But, Gibson, Fender, Taylor, Paul Reed Smith, Martin, for sure. These are all companies that really brought to market and brought to bear to the masses guitars. And a lot of these companies started, approximately 100 years ago, plus or minus. A couple of them maybe a little bit more recent than that, but still, not yesterday. And these North American companies are really, you have to understand that on an annual basis, internationally, there's about 2 million guitars sold. And a lot of them may be going, to beginners and whatnot, but there's really quite a large range of commercial guitars. So you have to sort of think that there's, I guess I can categorize the guitar market into three areas. There's what I'm talking about now, which is the commercial guitar market, which is the guitars you would buy when you walk into a music store and they're hanging on, they're hanging on the shelves and you buy one depending on. Well, they can range, right? So I would say that the average guitar that probably is purchased is probably, in the lower hundreds of dollars, kind of like, $200, $300, maybe $400, $500, depending on, who is for. For people learning to play guitar and whatnot. So that would kind of be an entry point. Like you can buy a guitar, a beginner's guitar for $100. It's mm-hmm. going to be quality. The quality of it's going to, show. It's going to be worth $100. But, a professional guitar that would be used by, people you see on stage and whatnot, even if it's a commercial guitar, it could be upwards of $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. And again, you would notice the quality in the guitars, but that you're going to be purchasing for the price. So, I think the average price of a guitar, when you take, the 1 to 2 million a year sold, maybe $400, but that's heavily weighted by those ones that are in that kind of I'd say $200 to $500 category. That would be really where a lot of them are falling. So, those manufacturers, though, I have to say, just to make sure that it's understood, is given the technology and the way that guitars are built, even a guitar, $300 is a pretty decent guitar. It's not like it's a piece of junk. I mean, it's not as great quality, obviously, as a $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 guitar. But it still can be okay, especially for a beginner. So that marketplace is there. And there's also, of course, in the international space, and even the North American manufacturers, like many, they have cheaper models, and those are manufactured overseas in China and whatnot. I know Fender, for example, has a whole line of guitars that are manufactured in Mexico, and they look like they're more expensive ones, but they're, third of the price, and that's specifically to address the market of people that aren't going to pay $2,000 for a Fender Stratocaster. So, you know, that's kind of out there. So the whole commercial space really is amazing. And what I find interesting is, you know, there's, you know, let's say $1.5-2 million guitars sold every year. Like, that's a lot of guitars. Because I think that, you know, that's like new guitars. Because there's an entire, you know, an entire market of, like, just so you understand, I don't actually buy new guitars. Because I'm a guitar player and all these other things, buying a new guitar for me is like, would be strange. I like buying used guitars because, you know, guitars are like kind of fine wine. They get better when they're played. They like to be played and then they kind of break in and all these other things and then you can play them. And so fortunately, there's different ways that you can buy used guitars, and I've had the luxury for the most part of being able to try guitars out, you know, and perform with them even before I purchased them. You know, I've had to take, you know, risks sometimes, and quite frankly, I've only ever bought two new guitars of any value, and the reason I did that is because they were kind of one-offs, and spend $1,500 on a guitar, $2,000 on a guitar, you don't want it to be a lemon. But in this case, I got lucky, and you know, they were decent guitars to begin with. So I like that. So that whole commercial space, you know, they really are fantastic. I mean, and then if you move, like, I'm from the manufacturers, and then, you know, the retailers that are out there, there's, you know, both on both sides of it. You know, you've got the, obviously, you know, large footprint, national firms, like Guitar Cellar, down in the U.S. and all these different places that, you know, sell a lot of them, that's where people come into and buy them. You know, you don't typically buy a Gibson direct from Gibson when you're buying a guitar, you know, you're buying from them. So that whole market is really fantastic. And, you know, they've always got guitar lessons and all the other stuff that goes around it as well. So they can really supply people with everything that they need, which is great. So, and then there's the whole, you know, online world too, which has really come around. You know, again, I personally don't tend to buy guitars online, but certainly I buy a lot of guitar parts and cables and strings and all this other stuff online. So it's, you know, you can get pretty much anything you ever need through an Amazon or through some of these other online resources, so which is fantastic. So I don't know that, you know, the total value of the entire market, but it's, you know, it's going to be in the hundreds of millions, if not billions, when it all comes down to it. So that's the kind of commercial space, and it's a very mature space. And, you know, there's a couple of big shows in North America every year where all the new stuff comes out of. And, you know, it's really evolving, in the technology side of things too, both good and bad. You know, I'm a bit of a advocate of, you know, the real instruments, you know, whatnot, and keeping instruments real and not going too electronic. And a lot of modern music is quite electronic, unfortunately, when it comes to that. I mean, it's still creative, but it's just not my thing. You know, I'm more of a traditionalist, I guess, but that's okay. Things do evolve. So, so there's the whole commercial space. And so what then comes into play, and this is where it starts to bridge into kind of my area of interest, is there's an entire market around custom and boutique guitars. So these custom and boutique guitar manufacturers they're still, you know, they're still commercial to some degree. And when I say commercial, I really mean mass production, I guess, is a better way of saying it. So they're still commercial. You know, they still have shops. They still have facilities and whatnot. But now, rather than, you know, the one that's selling, you know, millions or hundreds of thousands of guitars a year, now you're talking, you know, custom or boutique places that may be selling, you know, hundreds of guitars, or maybe, you know, small thousands, you know, one, you know, ones of thousands, but not, you know, hundreds of thousands and whatnot. And so these manufacturers and builders around, you know, they really are the luthiers. They're really the skilled, highly skilled guitar builders that, for the most part, are building everything by hand. Right. That's really the big difference. So the manufacturer, the commercial, you know, large-scale manufacturers, even with the really good guitars, with the exception maybe of their custom shops, obviously, because they all have custom shops, you know, a lot of the stuff, the technology to build the guitars is pretty amazing now. You know, they're using all kinds of stuff that still is good, but, you know, they're mostly, you know, kind of assembly line kind of manufacturing, whereas these custom and boutique manufacturers that are only making, you know, in the hundreds or less a year, they're building them by hand. You know, they're using saws and they're using, hand sanders and they're using, lathes and all these other things, routers, all this other stuff. And they're literally building them one by one, and very specific. And so within there, there's kind of a, two areas that you can look at. There's sort of the folks that are building true custom guitars, which is you tell me what you want and I'll build it for you.
How long does that normally take to actually build something that custom?
Typically, again, it depends on what you're getting into build. But I have, for example, I have a custom archtop guitar that I had built for me by Dr. Jared Burroughs, probably 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little longer. And, again, it's a hand-carved archtop, so it's a little bit more intricate than just maybe a standard solid-body electric guitar. But, it's probably about 200 hours of labor, 130 to 200 hours of actual labor to build some of these things. And there's a lot of time in between. So if you're going to buy a custom guitar, you can expect, from when you phone the guy, put a down payment or whatever, when you phone the firm, I should say, it can take, 3-4 months till you actually get the product done, because it's a process, right? So it's an art. There's a true art to building, these custom type guitars. So, now, the other side of it, though, is that you can still get custom, what I'll call maybe boutique guitars, which are, they're still hand-built and they're still haven't done anything, but it's a little bit more cut and dry. Like, they have a model, so you would buy one of their models, and as long as, wherever they are in their manufacturing process, there's one available, you can get it. Like, you can get one from them. So that may be a little bit quicker, and they may actually inventory them. They may just keep making, whatever, 5 a month or 10 a month or whatever they're capacity can handle, and but they're going to look the same, or maybe they've got 3 or 4 different models, but that would be a little bit quicker. So that's where I consider to be a little bit more boutique-y as opposed to pure custom. So my custom arch top was pure custom. Like, I talked to him about what I was looking for, and he built it based on what I asked for. It was very personalized, right? Even more so than custom. So.
Yeah, you had mentioned, because we did talk about the custom guitars right now, but what is the difference with, the home-built, the do-it-yourself home-built guitars, and then I guess I've been hearing a lot about kit guitars. Could you tell me a little bit about the comparison between the two? And we have about a minute before we break for a commercial.
Okay, well, then what I'll do is I'll intro it, and then maybe in the next section here we'll talk a little bit more. But essentially, a big part of getting into the DIY space that I talked about earlier is that, instruments, especially string instruments, sort of represent a really interesting opportunity for people that are creative and artistic that want to learn and get into things. So there's an evolution that can happen, if you're just starting to get into it. So you can start by getting a kit, which I'll describe shortly here after we break, or you can actually, literally build something from scratch. That's kind of the two different things. A kit comes with everything in it. You assemble it. Pure DIY is, you buy raw lumber and you get your saw and your tools out and you start from scratch, and in both cases, you end up with an instrument. It's just, there's quite a bit of different, work goes into it depending on which one you're building.
Wow. Well, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors, and we'll learn more about the differences between home-built guitars, kit guitars, and then we'll also learn more about Jamie's projects in guitar making. Bye-bye for now.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back, and you're listening to The Cool Project Show. And today we have Jamie Glennon, who has a great passion for music and guitar building. Jamie, just before the break, we were talking about home-built guitars versus kit guitars, tongue twister there. Can you tell me a little bit more about your preferences between the two and the comparisons?
Sure. I'd love to, Michelle. Thank you. So it's not so much a preference, I guess, although I guess for people in general it could be, but it's definitely part of an evolution, and there's some differences. So, you know, we talked about the commercial guitar space. We talked about the in the mass production. We talked about the custom and boutique side. So when we start getting into, you know, kind of the DIY and home-built stuff, this is where we start getting into you know, the skills and interests that come in from people. And again, there's the whole home-built instrument market is really quite interesting. It goes well beyond the scope of guitars, but certainly we'll talk about guitars, and I may touch on other stuff later. But the big thing that, you know, as you get into building or wanting to look at building your own guitar, you know, if you even just look at a guitar in general, you know, pick one up and look at it, you'll see that it's a pretty, you know, intricate piece of work. So it's not something that you can kind of build as, you know, without any skill and tools and all this other stuff. So what's nice is that you can kind of evolve into guitar building as in the sort of the hobby form. And that can kind of go through two things. So there's basically, as you mentioned, there's kind of kits, and there's kind of like, you know, the DIY, you know, build from scratch, you know, type model. So, and really I look at it as being, you know, one can evolve from one to the other. You can focus completely on one, but it's nice. So I myself, when I got into this and interest, you know, I didn't have the right tools, skills, and all this other stuff. So I really went down the kit. So what a kit is basically is it's just that. It's just like, you know, just like you can buy a kit car out there. I'm sure you have listeners that are into that. You can buy a kit guitar. So a kit guitar basically is inexpensive. You're not, you know, for the most part, inexpensive, especially if you buy an electric guitar kit. They're typically made in, you know, China or Taiwan or somewhere. You buy them on eBay for about $100 and $150. And what you get in that is, you know, you get a box shipped to you, and it's basically got everything you would need to build an electric guitar. Yes, if we're talking in the context of an electric guitar. So you've got the body, you've got the neck, you've got all the components. They usually ship it with strings and all these other things. And the job of the person ordering it then is to essentially assemble it. But when you buy these things, in general, though, they aren't quite fully ready for assembly. Like, they're typically not finished. So this is where you have to kind of get into some of the, you know, work. It's not as simple as just, you know, sticking it together, although there may be, those might be out there too, but I don't fully see the value of that. You might as well then just go buy a cheap, already built guitar, unless you just want to learn how to put some parts together, which I guess is a value, but typically, like I said, they're not finished. So what the home builder then has to do is take one of these kits, and they have to, you know, stain and paint the body. They have to do the neck. They have to lacquer. They have to sand, and a lot of sanding, I'll tell you right up now, front, no matter what you're building, a lot of lacquering, and all the other things that come along with actually doing the finish. And then once you've kind of got all the wood part finished, then you would put together all the components. And the components typically come all separate. You know, they're, you do have to do some soldering and all this other stuff when you buy a kit, typically. And then you kind of, once you put it all together, then you've got your guitar. So what I'll say about the kit. Go ahead, Michelle.
No, I was just going to quickly ask you, do you need a lot of expensive tools to build these guitars then?
Well, actually, so, you know, right now we're talking about the kits. So to build, this is the nice thing, actually, and I'll talk more about tools in a little bit, but this is a good point to make mention of here, is that one of the advantages of buying a kit versus, build the whole thing on your own, is that you don't need too many tools. You can almost do it exclusively with tools you could probably get around the house, or if you might even have around the house already, or worst case scenario, you can go to your local, hardware store and pick up what you need. So you really just need, screwdrivers, sanding blocks. You can literally paint in its simplest form. You can buy dye, like wood dye, or you can just do straight paint with paint from your store, the lacquer that would go on top, spray can stuff. You don't have to have all the intricate spraying and painting equipment. And then you would, wet sanding and whatnot. So pretty much everything you would do at that point with the kit is not requiring expensive stuff, which again is an advantage because as you get into kind of building your own, then you start requiring much more complicated and intricate tools. So once you've kind of got everything finished on the wood, and the wood's all finished and whatnot, then you can put the components on. So this is the one thing I will say, state caution or whatever, about the kit guitars. Depending on what you're looking to do with it, if it's just purely for interest or if you actually want to use it, you will find, especially if you look online at any of the resources, and a little bit later we'll talk about my project on a kit guitar and that I've actually got published on Cool Projects. You will find that one of the real downsides to the kit, or not the downside, but just the realities of the kit, is that it only costs $100 to $125 bucks. So where the cost really, or the quality is really killed is in the components. So the components, you get them all. You get everything you need. You get the pickups. You get the wiring. You get they're very low quality. They feel like they've been manufactured overseas, and you can tell. So again, if you're planning on building this guitar and actually using it, and if you're already a guitar player and you want to maybe play in a band, then you're going to end up wanting to pretty much not use any of the components. There may be a component or two that comes with it, but for the most part, not so much. So that's then what can really change the price of what you pay for the kit, because the kit may only cost $100 to $125, but you could easily, as I have, sink another, $500 to $700 in proper components, like, sort of American-made pickups and controllers and all the other stuff. So that actually make it a much better quality. So that's one thing that you have to be aware of. The other thing is that, and this, it's a bit of a hit and miss thing with the kits, as you'll find, and hopefully, if somebody out there goes ahead and buys one, which I encourage you to do, you'll find that the quality of the wood also is not going to be the same. So you can buy, like I have, you can buy a kit, and it'll be a mahogany body and neck, but, the body's not going to be a solid single cut piece. It's going to be, two or three pieces. They may or may not match. They've clearly been done in an assembly line somewhere, but that's where a bit of elbow grease, and if you're painting it a different color, it doesn't matter, but it's clearly not going to be the same quality of wood as that you're going to get, from a more expensive guitar. So you don't really have a selection. But again, if your objective is to learn, which is what these kits are fabulous for, and not have to drop, thousands of dollars on expensive tools, they're really quite a great way to get into your kind of the DIY instrument guitar building space, and I highly encourage it.
I think this would be a great maybe work together, like a father and son, or a mother and a daughter, or vice versa, working on these kits and building a guitar together.
Yeah, and actually, it's interesting you say that, because one thing I will say is that there's actually the kit I just described. It actually takes quite a bit of work. So, you're going to have to, it's going to take time. Like I said, you're staining and all these other things that go on, and painting and mm-hmm. and sanding and all this other stuff. And I agree 100%. I mean, it can be a really good, you know, family learning project. Again, because it's a kid, it doesn't require super expensive tools. I mean, if you have some that can make it easier, you know, if you have, you know, oscillating sanders and all these other things, it's great. But if you don't, that's okay too. It just takes elbow grease, which is not such a bad thing to influence your family to do, also. But, there's a whole kind of interesting other subculture around cigar box guitars. And, I've got more than one and I build them. They're typically kind of four string guitars. And what's interesting about that is there you can also buy kits, cigar box kits from, there's a company called, CBGiddy.com, which is a great site to go to get these things. They're not very expensive to buy a whole kit. You can buy a whole kit for under $100 for these guitars. And although you're not building a six string, you know, guitar like you might think, you're only building a three or four string thing, I have to tell you, they're a heck of a lot of fun to build. You can build one with your son, daughter, mother, whoever, the family thing, literally in an hour or two. And you've got a workable, you know, built, you know, home built instrument when you're done with it. And, you know, it's, I've seen interesting things that happen that, and this is something I highly encourage if any of the listeners out there ever want to do something interesting with a group of people, is people do this as kind of like a workshop thing. You get like at a festival or something, you can come and you can build your own cigar box guitar. And you get the kit. There's people that are helping you put it together. Literally, like I said, it literally takes screwdrivers to build these things. It's not very difficult. Doesn't require all the other stuff. It's finished. You know, again, this is for the kits that they sell. You can get a lot more intricate with these things. And they're done, and it's fun, right? So you know, with the guitar kits that I'm describing, you know, it can be a great learning experience for yourself, a great family event, a great community thing to do. God, that would just be amazing to do with, you know, a bunch of friends to do these things. Yeah. As well, that are interested in this space, you know, if you have a club that you're part of, you can do that as well. So it doesn't, you know, depending on your desire and your what you want to get out of it, it can become quite a great experience, you know. And I personally love it. Obviously, you can tell by the way I'm talking about it. And you don't have to be high theory, you know, semi-professional guitar player to do these things. You can do it for fun. And again, you got yourself an instrument that you've built, right? So hang it on the wall, take it down every once in a while, you know, showcase it, tell your friends. It's a great place.
So now tell me a little bit more about your project.
That sounds
Let's
good.
Let's see what you have
that sounds
going
good.
On right now.
Yeah, so I've got a couple things. Well, I've got multiple things, of course, on the go, but half, for the most part, of what I just explained. So I'll get into more detail when we come back from the break. But, you know, I bought one of these guitar kits from eBay for $125. Great guy to buy it from. If we can maybe, you know, even give the link or something to the site, or we can do that on the website afterwards, yep. Which is good on where to get these things. But, you know, I bought the kit. I did all the upgrade components. I did all the work. I put a lot of time into it. And it's actually, quite frankly, it's a great guitar. I'm not going to lie. I'm happily surprised again, but I put a lot of time and effort into it and I didn't cut any corners and all the good stuff. But it then piqued my interest to get into other building around guitars. So subsequent from then, I've now started and began building lap steel guitars from a kit, but from various different suppliers.
Okay, and we'll be right back with Jamie talking about music, guitars, and how he'd like to see more music in the community. We'll be right back.
The United States Justice Foundation, since 1979, has been dedicated to instructing, informing, and educating the public on legal issues confronting America. That means you and me. When necessary, this nonprofit organization has had to litigate to present the constitutional view. Since 1980, USJF has submitted testimony to the U.S. Senate on all but one U.S. Supreme Court nominee. Learn more about USJF by visiting their website at www.usjf.net. Support this nonprofit as it defends our rights, our liberty, and our Constitution.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to our last segment of our Cool Project Show. And today we have Janie Glennon, and we've talked so much about guitars and the history of guitars and, you know, commercial guitars and kick guitars. But now we're also talking about Jamie's projects and what he does in building guitars. So welcome back, Jamie, and just tell me more about your projects in guitar building.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Michelle. So as I was leading into before the break, so I decided, because I was kind of in that same boat of what I was walking through there, to evolve through the kit guitar and then move forward. And that became largely because, of limitation of skill I needed to learn, also because of tools I needed to buy and all the other things. And I just thought it would be a good way to do it. A lot of the stuff that I did in my first project with a kit, I literally was learning on the fly from YouTube and all the amazing, amazing people that are out there that are teachers, like I can't even describe. And so my first kit there I bought online for $125 from eBay. Again, we'll make sure that the URL is up somewhere so people can see where to get these things. I didn't do this initially thinking I was going to be publishing it on Cool Projects, which I've subsequently done. That kind of happened by a little bit of fluke when I found your site and all that other good stuff. But I decided because of all the content that was out there on the internet that I was going to record myself doing it. So I decided to go through all the steps. And really a lot of it, I was thinking I was just going to do it for my own self and I was going to publish it and all these other good stuff that I'm using it. So I bought the eBay kit. Again, recognized right away that a lot of the components weren't very good. I haven't built a lot of guitars, obviously, but at this point, last year or year before, but I knew I'd played lots and lots of guitars so I could feel what was good and what was not good. So kind of made my decision on what colors I wanted, did my research, got the minimal set of tools I needed at least to get going, and I started from there. And I stained the body. It turns out I got I've got a mahogany body with a flame maple top, and that worked out great. Had to spend time learning on how to do actually grain sealing and all these other fabulous things, and that all again worked out great. Had to redo a few things, but that's part of the what comes with the learning, I guess. And got it all finished up, all the finishing work, and then of course I knew the component part of it extremely well because of playing. So went out, researched what I wanted, wondered what sounds I wanted, got my parts from local guitar stores, national guitar stores, a lot of stuff online, and when everything was said and done, I put it together, and got to say, I'm amazingly happy with the way that it came out. I've played it now, like live with one of the bands I play with. I intend to do more of that. I'm still doodling around a little bit with the components and whatnot, but as guitar players, we're kind of that way. We tend to always be messing around with stuff. It's kind of part of the obsession. So that was kind of my introduction to this whole thing with this kit. And one thing I didn't mention earlier that I should mention, and I sort of bridged into before the break, was that I actually don't just play the guitar. I play a lot of different instruments, mostly, or they're primarily string-based, but I also play the mandolin and the ukulele and the Dobro and whatever and all these other things. So one of the things that I've taken a really keen interest in the last couple of years is the lap steel guitar. So it's a natural evolution as a guitar player to move into lap steel and learning new tunings and all the other things that stimulate my mind. But I love the sound, and any of the listeners out there probably are familiar with the sound of lap and certainly pedal steel guitars, very popular and well-known sound in country and Western music and even now modern music. Hawaiian music, which is where it evolved from. Anyways, lap steel guitar, it's a new passion for me, and I love it. So I decided that I wanted to move forward with my guitar building, and I thought, well, you know what, why don't I use that as an opportunity, and I'm gonna build a lap steel guitar. So one thing about when you get into the DIY space, and this is not just in guitars, this is really in almost anything, is that it starts to get to the point where, you know, the tools required go well beyond what you need with a kit. So, you know, having, you know, hand sander and screwdrivers and hammers and stuff is great, but you start needing, you know, other things like drill presses and routers and routing tables and bandsaws and all this other stuff. So I had to, again, just much like I did with when I started looking at building my first guitar, when I started moving this, I thought, well, what can I realistically do? What can I realistically learn? And what can I realistically afford in the short term to go to this next step? So fortunately, again, you know, I love the internet, the World Wide Web, because I did some research and everything else. And what I found out there in the web was there was places that I could actually get manufactured bodies. So I'm not buying a kit now. Now I'm actually just buying bodies or partially finished bodies and whatnot. And these are now no longer, you know, made in Asia, $125. These are now like professional grade bodies. So you're not buying the whole kit. You're buying like a formed piece of wood. So for an electric guitar, you could buy like a Stratocaster body, like raw, like just, you know, comes, it's cut, it's, you know, at least sanded to some degree, and you take it from there. So it eliminated the need to have, you know, CNC routers and band saws and all this other stuff. But the upside to it is that they're professionally done, though, too. So I bought my first lap steel guitar body out of Oklahoma from George Boards. Uh-huh. A place called George Boards, again, fabulous supplier. It's CNC routed, which is, you know, something I could never afford to do on my own. Obviously, I can't afford a CNC router for tens of $20,000. Mm-hmm. But so I was able to get the body, and I was able to get, you know, the mahogany, and I got it just exactly like I wanted. And so I was able to get that. So, however, now I still needed to get into building it, and there's still a lot of pieces that came along with it. There's still a lot of drilling, and so you kind of move into the next. Evolve in the next step. So you, where I'm getting it now, professional grade wood cut in the form, but now I start needing things that maybe I didn't have before. So like I said, you know, drill, I had to get I got myself a pretty nice drill press, and I got myself a router, and I'm building myself a routing table right now. And I bought myself much better quality tools that were going to be required. And I still had to borrow some stuff, but you know, I got proper oscillating sanding router and all these other, you know, hand sanders and all the other stuff that you need when you start getting into it now at this next step. So, and then of course, then there's all the components, but a lot of what I learned, of course, doing the kit in the first place around the finishing, I got to now apply to the new thing. So it kind of allowed me to really evolve to that next step. So I got working on this 8-string lap steel, which also is up on Cool Projects, or is partially up there. I'm not sure if I've got all the parts up there, but I've gone through that as well. And subsequently, I, by accident, came across another guy on eBay that was just selling off some raw bodies. So I decided, just for the heck of it, to grab one of those. And that was a 6-string, more traditional Gibson-style lap steel body. So I got that and decided to build what I call a lap steel junior on the 6-string side. So got working on that, and again, that one, nothing was routed, so I didn't need to have the band saws and all the, you know, the...
No, I was just going to ask you, because these are such amazing hobbies for you, but do you actually start seeing this maybe as a career change path for you?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So, you know, as again, we keep evolving, right? So, and that's the beauty of, you know, being a human being. We can pick a path and go down it and decide, you know, become, regardless of your age and your background, you can really become whatever you want. So I have a very strong desire to, you know, a little ways out. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting very close because I'm getting asked me for if I can build them guitars too. What I'm looking at now is, you know, how do I take this to that next step where I can take, maybe I, you know, become specific to lap steel guitars or something like that, and I can then apply that to at least initially become kind of a secondary career for me. I guess it'd be a third career because I make money playing music. So, you know, I'm an IT technology security guy by day, you know, semi-professional musician by night, and maybe a guitar builder by weekend. but you know, my desire though is, especially as I'm getting a little older now, I'm not super old, you know, I just turned 50, but you know, as I move forward, I can see that being a great opportunity for me to apply all these skills. And I, at first when I embarked on this journey a couple of years ago, but now, because of the way it's come and the way that these instruments are coming together, it's working great. And you know, so what's happening is I'm starting to now look into where I can take, like, look at my designs rather than buy other people's designs, take those to places that can do me, like, do my, you know, computer-aided routing and all these other things that are required, so I don't have to have a router, you know, that myself. There's the beauty in modern technology is that there's organizations that will do something, sorry, but they can do with my design, and so I can start to manufacture or, you know, build my own guitars. You know, again, I'm going to be a boutique at best at this point, but or maybe they become one-off, you know, custom ones that different people want, and it'd be fabulous. It would be a dream come true.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about your passion for music, and I think you'll agree with me that music is so incredibly important in our lives. Let's talk about music in the schools and in the home. Now, I know in the schools with government cutbacks, you know, in education, and that's right across North America. Do you see, how do you see how important music is for children, both in the schools and in the home? And do you actually see the guitar making, can it be part of a curriculum in the school?
Yeah, so first of all, perhaps I'm biased, and well, I am biased, I guess, towards this, but school, home, wherever you want to call it, I personally, and I've this has been my philosophy forever, think that everybody at some point in their life, you know, preferably all of their life, plays some kind of an instrument. Now, the instrument could be, you know, you're a singer, so that's when your instrument is your voice. But I just think that it is such an amazing part of our culture. And even, it always has been. If you go back to historic times, you know, music's always been there in its various different forms. And I just think that it's such a big part of our culture, and it can be such a big and uplifting part of everything we do, that, or anything like that. And that's why I love when I see guys walking around the beach with their guitars, or, you know, the people that have their piano at home. I just think that that's the way it goes. And in my house, you know, of course, there's tons of guitars hanging around everywhere, and that's really, you know, fended off. You know, both my daughters are play guitar and piano, and other than the singers, and my son's a huge music advocate, my wife too. So it's part of our, again, I didn't think, the home, I believe, you know, it should be encouraged, and it has to be encouraged by parents and so.
I want to say, you know, we're time to wrap up, but I want to say thank you so much for coming to the show. If anybody wants to get a hold of Jamie Glennon or myself, you can actually reach us by email, and that's coolprojects@americaswebradio.com, or go to coolprojects.com and you can follow Jamie's projects. And Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Michelle. And if anybody wants to kind of check out some of the, or get some of these links and stuff too, they can try me at www.southdeltamusic.com, which will be up on the Cool Project site as well, and on the site there. So.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.